Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jaden Daniels-less Washington, trying to pull off a huge upset.
And speaking of on air and on the road, Jake Gruden is driven by the Tempered Automotive Group. Tempered Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters. Tempered Lincoln and Chantilly and Tempered Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tempered for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at tedbritt.com.
Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and welcome onto the show our guy, the former head coach of the then Redskins, Jay Gruden. Jay, what's up? It's good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing in Kansas City? How's the weather out there? Is it nice?
It's like 55 degrees and overcast.
It looks gray and miserable.
Like it's going to rain, but we're told it's not going to.
Oh, all right.
But it's comfortable. We're going to be out and about. We're not sitting in the box tonight. We're going to be with the people. So we need it to be dry and not cold. And I think we're going to get those two things.
Just wear a poncho. You'll be all right.
Yeah. We'll get tough it out.
Thing.
It's fine. I do think as a coach, like coaches always look so terribly uncomfortable in the rain, like rain games and stuff. Because they don't wear like a poncho or anything. They're just in a hat and their jacket. What was your thought on coaching in the elements, the weather?
Not a fan. I would love to have been in the press box instead. I hated standing out there freezing my ass off, rain pouring down. The coldest game I ever coached, I was offensive coordinator for the Bengals, and we played at Pittsburgh last game of the year. It was like -2 degrees, freezing my ass off. I mean, it was brutal.
Did you think about going up and calling from the booth that day, or you're not? That just looks too...
It looks too soft, right?
Too like a baby.
I did pretend to go to the heater and talk to my center many, many times. Hey, I'm going to come over here and talk to you about the next set of downs here, man. But really, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to sit by this heater.
He's like, Coach, we haven't had this many conversations all season long. So I know you don't really have to pretend. You can just sit here. It's fine.
You couldn't disrespect the elements like that, but it was so cold.
Arrowhead Stadium. Is it as loud as everybody says?
Yeah, it is. It's a great stadium. Monday night will be rocking. They're playing a lot of confidence. I mean, those fans are crazy loud. but, you know, if you get on them early, you can silence a crowd. That's the best thing about playing on the road. When you hear silence, you know you're kicking their ass, and hopefully that's what happens tonight.
So how do you prepare a team for that kind of outdoor noise? Indoor noise, I know, you practice in the bubble and pipe in a bunch of stuff on loudspeakers. How do you do it for an outdoor environment? Is it similar?
Well, I think Cliff will have them dialed in. I think he'll do a lot of no huddle, and that helps a lot. You know what I mean? The hand signals, the nonverbal communication helps a lot. It's a snap count. You know, you're going to go on a silent count a lot of times. Sometimes that can get screwed up a little bit. But I think going no huddle, what Cliff likes to do anyway, I think that'll be a good pace, good tempo setter, and help with the crowd noise.
So tell us how that works. I mean, obviously Kansas City's watching the hand signals. How do you vary it enough in a silent count that they don't get a jump on the snap? Take us through the machinations. What's actually happening?
Well, you tell them the formation first. Hey, it's a trips right or whatever it is. And then you give them the protection and the play. And then you hand signal the receiver's routes. Or you can kind of do like a sugar huddle and just tell them. And then once you get the line of scrimmage, the guard's looking at you, the quarterback. And then as you give them your heel or you clap your hand, whatever it is, the guard knows you're ready for the snap. And the trick is when you want to add motion to it, that's when it becomes a little bit more tricky. The guard's got to really hold in there, let the motion happen. And then the quarterback has to communicate to the guard when he's ready for the ball. And guard taps the center, and then the center gives them a 1-2 look up, maybe one, maybe two, maybe a 3 look up to screw them up and then snap the ball.
So that's what I'm wondering, that last part. Is that determined to the center, or is it his choice?
Yeah.
And then how does everybody react off of that?
that'll be determined to the center, so the rest of the linemen know, because, you know, usually when it's on a regular silent count, hey, we're going on a silent count, it'll just be one look up and then look down and snap it. Then we might go on a silent two, so you'll look up once, twice, and then look back down and snap it. So you got to try to do that every now and then just to make sure these defensive ends aren't stupid. Chris Jones is not stupid. If he times up that head bob with a center, he'll be in the guard's lap before he even gets out of his stance. So you got to make sure you change that up if you're going silent.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. All right, write me the script here for tonight. You know, they're double-digit underdogs, whether it, you know, depends on your book, where you're looking, 10.5, 11.5, 12.5, as many this week. They should be underdogs, right? But how do you approach that as a coach? Everybody's probably aware that nobody's giving you a chance to win this game. How do you tap into that, and what do you do?
Well, I think there's a lot of pride in that locker room. It starts with the leader, Bobby Wagner, and I think they had to have a good week of practice. I heard Coach Quinn went some more one-on-ones this week to try to get the physicality back. You know, I was in that same situation my last couple of years there where you're afraid to get people hurt. You don't have the physical practices you need to have sometimes. I was afraid to lose somebody in practice. But I think he went back to a more physical approach this week, and he's going to preach physicality with the offensive and defensive line, and that's where it's going to be won in the trenches. And then somehow, some way, get some turnovers, force Patrick into some bad throws. And that's going to be difficult with the lack of pass rush Washington has. But maybe sending Bobby Wagner through the A-gap or Luvu on the outside, something to disrupt Patrick's timing. So maybe he throws a couple picks.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. You know, the Commanders just not getting takeaways to that point. You know, three all season long, just two interceptions, both by Mikey Sanristil. They're a -5 in turnover differential, which coming into the week, only two teams were worse than. Jay, along those lines, though, defensively, you were kind of writing a plan. The answers we've gotten from Dan Quinn this week were, hey, what are you going to change? And he said something to the effect of, we're going to play better. When did you know when that wasn't enough anymore, that you actually had to bench someone or make a personnel shift or give somebody else a look? And are we there yet for this group if you're in charge?
I don't think so. I don't think there's really a lot of people you can bench people for. It's not like you have four or five Pro Bowlers stashed on the bottom half of your roster. I think you're pretty much stuck with the guys you have. You're looking at some of these defenses, Cincinnati and Dallas, some of these teams that are struggling. They just don't have the personnel right now. So, yeah, they got to play better, but the coach also has to do a few different things to try to light a fire. Maybe it's calling all-out blitzing. It's on 2nd and 10. I don't know, something to try to light a fire, try to create something to happen. But I think Washington still, despite the defensive end lack of pass rush there, I still think they have enough talent with Wagner and Luvu and Dron Payne and Kinlaw, Sanus Drill and Lattimore. There's still enough talent on there to be competitive in this football game.
One of the things that I've been around long enough as a fan, I'm not special in that regard, Jay. A lot of people have been watching football for a long time, but I've seen that press conference before, and I've seen those complaints before where it's too complicated. We got to make it more simple, and now we can do more stuff because these guys have been in the system for a long time. It's just things that people say. But Joe Witt talked about paring things down, making it simpler so they can play faster. It sounds like BS to me, to be honest with you. Yeah. Just coach speak, and I it alarms me that a veteran team, the oldest team in football, needs things dumbed down for them. To me, the whole point of having veterans is they know how to do stuff. But I digress. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if you dumb it down and make it more simple, you're going to make it more simple for Patrick Mahomes, and that's what you cannot do. If he sees cover three, if you line up and play cover three, and it looks like cover three, and it is cover three, he's going to know right where to go with the football. If you line up in Tampa two or two deep and safeties are high and deep, he's going to know what he wants to get to. You got to do some kind of thing to try to mask what you're doing to try to make him have, you know, second thoughts on what he's doing with the football. He pulls it down and looking for Kelsey. Oh, he's doubled. Now I got to find the back out of the backfield. Oh, sack. You know, you got to do something. You can't dumb it down for Patrick Mahomes. If anything, you got to dial up some crazy stuff for Patrick because he will gut you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking to the radio guys here in Kansas City at the station where we're broadcasting from today, they think this is the best skill group and collection of weapons that the Chiefs have put together offensively since Tyreek Hill walked out the door, with Worthy and Hollywood Brown and now Rashee Rice back and Smith-Schuster and Tyquan Thornton going down the field. They drafted Jalen Royals, who hadn't played a lot in the fourth round. They've got Pacheco and Hunt and this kid Breshad Smith. What do you make of the skill group? And I guess I should throw in the tight ends with Kelce and Noah Gray as well.
Yeah, I think they're as good as anybody, and they have the best trigger man in the game and a great play caller, Andy Reid. So you got to deal with all the nuances that Andy's going to throw out there with all the crazy bubble screens or some kind of weird possum formation at the goal line where they throw it to Chris Jones on the bubble screen, something crazy. But we used to surround a guy like Patrick Mahomes with Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown and the guys at Pacheco and the running game. They're pretty damn good. But they did lose to Jacksonville. They had some warts shown on tape that you can get after them, and Patrick can maybe throw it into the crowd and get a tip ball or something like that. They're not perfect. So they just have to – Washington has to play their best game on defense. They got to hustle and fly to the football, get 2, 4, 6 hands on the ball every time they can and pursue like crazy and make some plays. And I think they're going to keep it close early, but I do think – I think the cream will rise to the top third, late to third, early fourth. I think it'll start to be pulling away by Kansas City, but I expect Washington to play hard.
Jay Gruden with us live on Grant and Danny. We're in Kansas City. You're locked into 106.7 The Fan. Monday Night Football tonight, the kickoff for the Commanders as double-digit point underdogs at Arrowhead Stadium without Jaden Daniels. In the news of the day, they're also without their kicker, Matt Gay. They'll go with Matthew Wright, kicking field goals tonight, who they've signed and will elevate from the practice squad into the active roster all in one fell swoop hours before the game gets going. Jay, you mentioned the other side of the football here a couple of times with Washington and the offense. I mean, are you going heavy Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt and just pounding the football with Bill, or what's your game plan going in if you're calling plays?
That's tough because obviously you want to keep – the offense of Kansas City on the bench as long as you can, but you don't want to be in 3rd and 8 or 9 with Chris Jones and the pass rushers they have at Kansas City. So you just have to have a good balance. And I think Mariota's played enough with Cliff where they have a good feel for one another, what they like to do. And I still think being balanced is very necessary. We don't have to run the ball on first down every time, get them outside the pocket, maybe hit some down flats and, some low crosses, things of that nature, and then get Merritt going a little bit. But stay out of 3rd and long and do the best you can of possessing the football, and then take advantage of some shot plays when you can with Debo or with Terry McLaurin down the sideline.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. I want to go back to Mahomes real quick. I just want from your view as a coach, you've been around some pretty damn good quarterbacks in your own right. What makes him in your view so special? I've tried to quantify it to a million ways from Sunday. He does something seemingly every week that I just can't believe and feel like I've never seen before. What do you think makes him so good?
It's the things you can't coach that he can do better than anybody that's probably ever played the game. It's the off-schedule plays that he makes. It's the poise that he plays with when things aren't pretty around him. It's a bad pocket. People are rushing him. He makes positive things happen when nothing's there. Andy Reid can call a play that could be gloved by Washington. I mean, covered everywhere. And he just buys time, and then somebody uncovers on a deep corner route 40 covered, and they still gain 40 yards. And that's Patrick Mahomes making those type of plays. Then plays are there to be had. He can throw on time and on rhythm, and he's a very smart player with the running game and doesn't run the ball into any slaughters, free safety blitzes. They don't run weak side zone and for a loss of 5. He knows he's a very smart player, gets them into the right play, and when the play isn't there, he can make something happen like nobody else in the world.
Jay, Andy Reid, while we're talking about what makes guys great, you said he's one of the better play callers. He's the one guy that isn't like all the other ones, right? When you think about Sean McVay and Kevin O'Connell and Ben Johnson and this new era, most of the Kyle Shanahan, these guys are all, in their young 40s or upper 30s or something. Andy Reid's the old dog, who's learned all the new tricks. How has he adapted and been so good for so long? Because otherwise it's kind of a young guy's club in terms of the great play callers in this sport right now.
Yeah, Andy Reid has had a system for many, many years that's been proven to be effective. And then he's also had the ability to branch off and do some different things with the perimeter screens and the motions and all the crazy little window dressings that he uses a lot. But when it comes right down to it, his system is sound, it's proven, and Patrick's very comfortable with it. It's probably one of the least difficult systems to deal with from a defensive standpoint. It's just they execute at a very high level. Now that they have Rashee Rice, you'll see him doing the shallow crosses and high crosses, and you got Kelce working the middle and option routes and all that stuff. He's just very good, very sound at what he does. Doesn't put the quarterback in a lot of harm's way. They're not going to wait for three level throws and drop back seven steps and hold the ball for 20 seconds. He has a great change up with quick game and bootlegs and all that stuff. So yeah, he's just got a great pulse on what needs to happen to attack defenses.
In terms of Washington's defense tonight, they haven't been doing very much well here of late, and as banged up as they are, you know, what advice would you give to them in terms of a game plan? To me, what the kind of the paradigm has been against Mahomes, Jay, has been you can't blitz him because he'll pick you apart, and they've got enough weapons now where you know, you make yourself vulnerable with some of the things thrown into space or some of the one-on-ones. Do you do what everybody else has done and kind of back off and just make him impatient, just having to check it down, take stuff in front over and over and over and over and over again, or something else?
Yeah, I'd probably lean towards that early in the game to, you know, play more coverage, rush four, and I know that's going to give them some time, but maybe, you know, with the coverage in place and everybody's sound and what they're doing, eyeballs on the quarterback, maybe we get a tip ball, maybe we get somebody breaking on the ball, something like that, and then in the red zone we'd be more aggressive with what we're doing. But, yeah, it's tough. It's a double-edged sword for him. You say, hey, let's be aggressive. But then, you know, he breaks contain and guys are running wide open everywhere, and it's, hell, don't do that. So I would err on the side of playing more coverage, change it up from spot drop zones to some carries and all that stuff, which I know that Washington can do.
All right, Jay, around the NFL quickly with you before we let you go here. We were sitting in a sports bar in KC watching all the games yesterday. There was a lot to like, but one thing that stood out was how good Denver looked against Dallas. I mean, you look up and the Broncos, despite a slow start to the season from Bo Nix, are 6-2. They got one of the better defenses in the league. They shut that potent Cowboys offense down. They end up benching Dak at the end of the game because it was so out of reach. What do you think of 6-2 Denver in the AFC West? I mean, KC's still chasing them right now with four wins.
Yeah, Denver plays great defense, and that goes a long way. Hopefully Patrick Surtain's not out for a while with his shoulder. He went out in the second half, I think, with it. But they're sound in what they do defensively, and Bo's doing just enough. You know, the Cowboy defense was decimated. You talk about decimated defenses. Holy cow, I've never seen anything like it. So, yeah, I wouldn't put too much merit into that offensive performance, but I do think that Denver is going to be a team to be reckoned with because of their defense. And Bo Nix is getting better every week, and Sean Payton is another one of those good play callers, and he'll take some shots, and Bo's athletic enough to get out of trouble, and their defense is strong. So, yeah, they're going to be a – I still think Kansas City is the team in that conference that's going to win it, but in that division, but Denver's good.
Another 6-2 team to talk about here in Philadelphia. They had no trouble with the Giants yesterday. Got the benefit of a too early blown whistle on what should have been a clear turnover. Ended up being one of the turning points in the game, but Philadelphia ran away with it. They looked vulnerable for a little bit, but they seem inevitable to me.
Yeah, they're going to be the team to beat in the NFC. You know, Green Bay looked great against Pittsburgh, obviously, and Detroit's going to be there. I think L.A. Rams are going to be there with Stafford. There's Tampa Bay is going to be there the way they're playing defense. Baker's hot and cold, but if Baker gets hot, they could beat anybody at any time. I think those five teams, Seattle's going to be tough, those six teams right now. And then there's going to be a seventh team, whether it's San Francisco or hopefully Washington. When Jaden gets back, they can make a run late in the year. They can come up there in a wild card and create some havoc. But, yeah, I like Philadelphia a lot. They play – they sometimes sleepwalk through games. They're like their sense of urgency, but they're going to be in it because they're so good up front on defense and their offensive line is playing better. And they got Saquon, they got Devontae, they get AJ back. They're just good, and they're battle tested.
Are the Patriots and Drake May this legit, or are they benefiting from a really weak schedule?
Both probably. Their schedule has been pretty weak. They did beat Buffalo. I think they lost to the Raiders week one, which is a shocker, but. And they don't really have a tough schedule moving forward. They play Buffalo again, but Drake May is playing outstanding. He's in the conversation for MVP, if you can believe that. But I think Patrick will have a lot to say with that when it's all said and done. But, yeah, their defense is good. They got seven new starters, I think, from free agency. And Vrabel's always been a good defensive coach. And I think Drake May, if he continues on pace with Josh McDaniels calling plays, they'll be a threat to win that division.
Jay, you mentioned Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers is such a veteran. He's been around for decades. He's, you know, almost my age in his early 40s, so, you know, probably not a guy that's going to get rattled by sort of a revenge game. But when you were coaching, free agency is so commonplace. How did you handle that week for a guy that was going against his former team and, you know, some of the risks therein to try to make it about that instead of, you know, about doing what's best for the team? What sort of advice did you give, and how would you handle that for guys?
For who, Aaron?
Just in general, when you had players playing against their former teams.
Oh, you know, try to make them captain, make them feel good, try to get their juices flowing a little bit, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, it's all about X's and O's on game day. You got to get them mentally, physically ready to play, and hopefully the emotions don't take over what they're trying to do. They don't try to play outside themselves. They still play within themselves, within the game plan, and do the right thing that's best for the football team. But, you know, it's an emotional game, and some people really have a strong desire to beat the team that let them go or they got traded from, which is natural. I think we all would feel the same way, but at the end of the day, it's still about that pigskin being kicked off at 1 o'clock or 8 o'clock and doing what you can to help your team win.
Jay, you alluded to how you see this game playing out, but before we let you go, let's get your final prediction. Commanders, Arrowhead Stadium tonight against the Chiefs. What do you like?
Well, I mean, you got to take Kansas City if you have a brain in your head right now. The way the Washington defense is struggling, now you're going against the high-powered Kansas City offense with the best quarterback in the National Football League. That in itself would say take Kansas City. Then you throw in the fact that Washington doesn't have their best player, and that's Jaden Daniels. So that's two major strengths going against Washington. Now they're going to play hard. Coach Quinn's going to get them going. I expect them to keep it close early, but I think when it's all said and done and dust settles, I think it'll be a pretty easy win for Kansas City.
Jay, appreciate you as always, man. Talk next week.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, be good, brother. This is Jay Gruden.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.